Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show, 844-500-4242. So the supply chain crisis is not coming to an end anytime soon, and although Joe Biden got involved, somehow that didn't fix things. He put his foot down. He said, I will turn this cargo ship around if you don't get it together. And yet, here we are. And in fact, a lot of publications are predicting that it's only going to get worse once these vaccine mandates are in place starting January 4th. Now, when something like this happens, it's always good to have an expert behind the wheel. You know, the Secretary of Transportation, Mayor Pete Buttigieg, he was chosen for this post, this very important job, because he once wrote something about how airports are romantic. And need I say more? I mean, you're obviously qualified.
Oh, you can't give it to noted locomotive expert Hunter Biden. I mean, that's just nepotism at that point. So you got to go with choice B, I guess.
Right. It'd be too much of a small world if Hunter landed that job. Plus, he's so busy with his artwork.
That's true.
I don't know if you saw that kind of disappointing gallery attendance. Not a lot of people showed up. I don't know why. Maybe they found out that they'd have to like give reporters their names and they decided,
I guess nobody wants to meet the big guy anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the other thing. It's like, you know, I could do a little pay to play here, but do I even want to play? Like, this guy's not really wielding that much power. All right. So the supply chain crisis is unfolding. We're all kind of waiting to see what Mayor Pete is going to do. And he's made some stumbles thus far. First of all, he wasn't at work for like 2 months. That was number one. I was really just going to list off a bunch of things. And then I remembered that one. I'm like, that did count as a stumble. You know, I've had a few jobs before where, you know, someone will say to me, so how do you think it was? How do you think you're doing? Well, I didn't come to work at all. So right there, you might want to mark me down a letter grade. So he doesn't come to work. He's on paternity leave. That's one thing. And then he goes in front of the cameras, and I distinctly remember him trying to explain away this massive issue that this administration seems obsessed with pretending is like a boutique problem only for housewives who are waiting for their Pelotons to arrive. He tries to explain it away by saying there's two types of Christmas shoppers. One type does it, you know, has it all done before Halloween, and the other type, like me, is last minute. People weren't impressed by that. People waiting for things, ventilators, medicine, whatever it is on those ships, that answer did not suffice from the Secretary of Transportation. But he's back. He is back with a vengeance. He is here to show you that he is meant to be in charge of this. Stephanie Ruhle from MSNBC was asking Pete about inflation, about how this is affecting people, about how you can order something and wait months and months and months. I know we all have our own stories with this. And listen to what Pete said. Cut 20, please.
Because if we can act to reduce the costs that Americans face, the cost of childcare, the cost of schooling, the cost of access to pre-K, just literally putting more money in people's pockets with things like the child tax credit that represents, you know, thousands of dollars a year for most families with kids, that's something that can help at a time when we see other issues like what's going on in global oil markets increasing the prices and increasing the cost people face. So yes, you know, just because this isn't considered what economists would call a permanent structural inflationary pressure, it doesn't make it any less real, doesn't make it any less painful, and that's exactly why we're focused on the price pressures that Americans are facing.
I didn't follow that, and maybe it's because I'm not one of the best and brightest here, but is he saying we need to pass more spending so we can fix this?
Yes, yeah, we need to pass the bill so that way people can have more money.
So, oh, right. Okay, that makes sense. Just print more money.
Yeah, give people more money. It's cool because you're not going to notice things going up 10% if you have 0.4% more federal dollars in your pocket.
Oh, very cool. Okay. Well, you know
what? Makes sense. Yeah.
I think I underestimated Mayor Pete. He does sound like he knows what he's doing. I feel a lot better now. And hopefully anyone who's waiting on their treadmills, the tragedy of the treadmill delayed, hopefully that gave you a little bit more reassurance that we're in good hands.
I actually saw a meme yesterday that Larry Elder put out that the Democrats lost the Virginia election because the fake ballots from China were stuck on a ship out in Los Angeles.
Well, did you hear about, I'm glad you brought up China, did you hear what they were printing in one of their newspapers today, making fun of Joe Biden?
No.
So Joe Biden was at this climate summit and he did that thing where he says something and says, oh, I shouldn't say that. That's a real habit of his. Oh, I'm going to apologize. I probably shouldn't apologize, but you know what? I'm going to anyway. He's always like rebelling against his own brain. And he apologized on behalf of the United States for the fact that Donald Trump stopped the nonsense that was this climate change grift for 4 years and still managed to reduce carbon emissions, despite the fact that he wasn't, you know, hanging out with James Taylor and John Kerry for 4 years. Somehow things still managed to improve. So Biden goes out there and says, like, I'm going to apologize. The apology tour 2.0. And according to reports, China is now mocking Biden's apology, saying that that shows he is powerless. The Global Times, a government media outlet, ridiculed his noble apology and said that there were some who couldn't wait until 2024 when the Republican Party and our President Donald Trump then apologized for Biden's apology. An associate professor at the School of International Relations of the Beijing International Studies University claimed that such displays by American leaders showed the declining United States. Well, I think Joe would disagree. I mean, he got rave reviews from all sorts of people about that wonderful apology. Now, I do want to do a very quick here, if we could. It's a little bit of a wrap up of the week. But as everyone knows, the media is always unhinged. But when they suffer a huge blow like they did this week with Virginia, they really go into a dark place. It's not pretty. So it is time for a lot of people's favorite segment. Journalism in the news.
And now, news.
Very fake news.
I see a lot of excellent journalism being done.
Give me the press.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
How can you ask a question when you don't know the press?
He said that journalists make up stories and make up sources.
As a journalist, I don't really like being the story here.
Very fake news.
And many of your compatriots had to change their reporting and they had to apologize and they had to correct.
This is a golden age of journalism in a lot of ways.
Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get?
News.
All right, I really don't know where to start with this. I have so many. We're just going to run through them. First of all, what happened in Virginia with critical race theory, parents really making it clear that they're not on board for the schools to be telling some kids that they're oppressed and other kids that they're oppressors, breaking down their racial identity, seeing everything through the lens of race. Well, that rejection of critical race theory, it was tough for Joy Reid because she's one of critical race theory's biggest fans, although she also claims it doesn't exist. So it's hard to pin where she is exactly. She loves it, but it doesn't exist. But it's great, but it's also not a problem because, again, it's not real. She is very upset with the results in Virginia. And she had on this person, Michael Eric Dyson. And what they were doing, they talk a lot on MSNBC about dog whistles and things that are code for racism and subtle white supremacy and the nuance of racism. This is blatant racism, what you're about to hear right now. This is Michael Eric Dyson and Joy Ann Reid being incredibly racist. They're talking here about Winsome Sears, an incredible black woman who won lieutenant governor in Virginia. She's very impressive. She's a very proud American. And so naturally, they have to demean her on television. This is cut three.
They want white supremacy by ventriloquist effect.
There is a black mouth moving, but a white idea through the running on the runway of the tongue of a figure who justifies and legitimates the white supremacist practices. We know that we can internalize in our own minds, in our own subconscious, in our own bodies, the very principles that are undoing us. So to have a black face speaking in behalf of a white supremacist legacy is nothing new. And it is to the chagrin of those of us who study race that the white folk on the other side and the right wingers on the other side don't understand this is politics 101 and this is race, not even 101. What's beneath 101? It's the pre-K of race. You should understand the fact that if you tell black people, look, I support a Negro. Look, there is a person of color that I am in favor of. And that person of color happens to undermine and undercut and subvert the very principles about which we are concerned. You do yourself no service by pointing to them as an example of your racial progressivism.
Hold on, Professor. Professor. Could you cite, as Howie Carr says every week during Hate Mail Monday when I read nonsensical vitriol about him, could the professor cite some examples of things that she is doing to undermine black people? Just one. Forget some. You know, that's always the thing. That's always the thing with these radical lefties is if you ask them for an example of something like, oh, how is Trump racist? How is Winsome Sears racist? Oh, there's so many examples. I don't need so many. Give me one, Professor. Give me one example of what you're talking about, because you're talking very loudly and you're very sure of yourself that this woman is the face of white supremacy. Could you give us a specific example, please? Is it the fact that she's a Marine? Is it the fact that she loves her country? What is it exactly that makes her, this black woman, a crazy racist? I would love to know. And the truth is, and we've seen this so many times, is that the second a black person decides that they want to go a different way politically, that they want to have a different narrative, that they want to believe something other than what Democrats tell them to believe, Joe Biden said it himself. The mentality is, then you ain't black. And that is racism. Telling someone that because of the color of their skin, they have to believe certain things. And they have to do things a certain way because you say so. Because it makes you feel comfortable. That's racism, Professor. And I don't care what fancy words you want to use on Joy Reid's show. That is racism. Winsome Sears is the American dream. She's not the face of white supremacy. No matter how many times you want to tell yourself that, I'm sure it makes all of these geniuses on MSNBC feel better when they go to sleep after all of these big time electoral losses and after their crashing ratings and after their terrible book sales because no one wants to listen to them anymore. I'm sure calling someone like Winsome Sears a racist makes them feel better, but it doesn't make it so. We'll be right back. It's the Grace Curley Show. By the way, it's a great time of year to do something for others and something that's going to make you feel really good. Now more than ever, there are so many reasons to be a grateful nation. And in large part, we have our military and our veterans to thank for our liberties and freedoms. National Wreaths Across America Day is Saturday, December 18th. They'll be here before you know it. This time of year just flies by. And National Wreaths Across America Day is Saturday, December 18th. You can join in the mission to remember our fallen heroes, honor those who currently serve in their families, and you have the opportunity to teach younger generations the value of their freedoms, which I think is one of the most underrated parts of this organization, is teaching others how important this is. And it's a great organization. A $15 donation to Wreaths Across America sponsors a fresh, handmade balsam fir wreath from Maine with a single red bow. The veterans' wreaths have become a gift of America's respect. The circular wreath made with 10 balsam bouquets is a catalyst for unity, healing, and an expression of gratitude. What started with America's most hallowed ground at Arlington National Cemetery has grown to ceremonies at close to 3,000 participating locations across the country and overseas. Please sponsor a veteran's wreath today and show your appreciation for our veterans. Go to wreathsacrossamerica.org. That's wreathsacrossamerica.org. Please donate now. We'll be back with your calls, 844-500-4242. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the whiskey priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back. We just did a journalism in the news and we played one cut. That's how outrageous these liberals are, is that I get one cut in there and then I rant for the rest of the segment. We have like four or five more we could play. Today's poll question is brought to you by Kennedy Carpet. Howie has used Kennedy for decades, and I recently used Kennedy in my home, my living room, my dining room, my hallway. The rugs are beautiful there, and the service is impeccable. Everyone there is so kind. Please check out Kennedy Carpets. Tell them I sent you. I really, really love all the people there. For all your flooring needs and carpet cleaning, go to kennedycarpet.com today. You will not regret it. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you think Biden's bills will pass?
Ooh, no. I hope not.
Up to 76% now believe no.
Hey, the good news is if they do pass, he's going to come back to the press and answer some of their questions.
Right.
That's what he said, Jared. Cut 29, please. This is Joe Biden.
I'll be back to answer some of your questions when they pass. But may God bless you all and may God protect our troops. Thank you.
Without a CBO score, the House should vote.
It's funny now hearing like the fadeaway questions. Sir. You know what, though?
The CBO score, the House should vote.
The good news is that the handlers now, they don't even have to do the thank you, because they've trained him really well. That he just turns around real quick on his heels and he gets out of there. He knows better now. He's been instructed enough times. All right, let's get back to a little bit of journalism in the news here, because it has been a rough couple of months for Joe Biden. The news cycle has been tough. Luckily, it's all based off his own decisions. You know, this isn't anything he couldn't control. These are all of his own ideas, all of his own policies that are failing. And the reason is because he tried to do the opposite of Donald Trump. He basically did, and this is really more for my Seinfeld fans, but there's a huge contingency of you out there. He basically did the George Costanza, but the opposite. So George Costanza realizes that he's having no luck in his job or with women or with anything. And so he starts to make the opposite decisions of what he'd normally do. He normally would get a tuna sandwich. He gets a chicken sandwich and his life starts to get better. Biden did the opposite of everything Trump did, and everything in his country got worse, which could lead you to believe that Trump was actually making some common sense decisions on behalf of the country. But still, he's still to blame now that Biden is bragging about doing the opposite and undoing all of his policies. Somehow, Joe Biden reversing everything Trump did and then seeing bad results is still the fault of Orange Man Bad, according to Joe Scarborough's wife, Mika Brzezinski. This is Cut 7.
I think in some ways the meter hasn't moved at all since Trump left office. And while this administration is grappling with the problems that it adopted from the last administration, these problems are in some ways either still existing or the after effects of these problems, supply chain shortages, economic issues, are still hitting us. And now it's actually hurting the current administration.
Everybody's always blaming me for everything.
Wait, Mika. Come on now. I can take the Steele dossier. I can take the Russian hoax. I can take the BS. But you're trying to tell me that inflation and the supply chain crisis and the border stuff, that was all inherited from Donald Trump? You know what? If hashtag empty shelves Donald had been trending, I would remember that.
You don't remember when Pete Buttigieg took 2 months off during the Trump administration?
The absurdity of this. And the truth is that they can come up with vaccines and pills and, you know, all these new inventions, but they're never going to be able to cure Trump derangement syndrome, unfortunately. This is something that if you've caught it, it's a lifelong thing. You're never going to get over it. Doesn't matter who's president, even if it's the unifier in chief, the empathizer in chief, the grandfathery whispery man, Joe Biden, you are still a long-term sufferer of Trump derangement syndrome. Jessica Vaughn coming up next to talk about that garbage idea from the ACLU.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Most times when people read about illegal immigration in this country, they're in awe of the double standards between American citizens and illegal aliens. And that was never more true than when a story came out that the Biden administration was working, allegedly, with the ACLU to come up with $450,000 per illegal alien who was involved in the family separation under Donald Trump. And it was a very interesting thing because as much as Joe Biden and his team want to present themselves as the more humane administration, this has been an utter disaster. And Americans were outraged, rightfully so. People saw this story. It took off like wildfire. It was everywhere. And not just conservatives. You know, independents and centered leftists or centered Democrats were outraged at this idea that someone's going to walk into the country illegally and get $450,000 from the Biden administration. And so Biden gets this question from Peter Ducey, and he says, that's garbage. And so some people probably took a sigh of relief, like, okay, so there's no truth to it. And then his White House press deputy press secretary comes out yesterday, and then she actually kind of walks that back and explains that, well, when he said garbage, he just meant the figure, the $450,000. So she didn't say if it was $449,000. She didn't really give us any more detail on that. But it was clear that what Joe Biden had originally said, and when he made it seem like this was never going to happen, that that's not true. Joining me now from the Center for Immigration Studies is Jessica Vaughn. Jessica, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Good to talk with you.
Jessica, do I have this right? I mean, it seemed most people who follow this administration and all of these stories did not feel satisfied with Joe Biden's incoherent answer where he said, oh, that's garbage, that's never going to happen. But I was a little shocked that like less than 24 hours later, we find out that it very well could happen. It just might not be $450,000 per person.
Correct. It's clear from his exchange with Peter Ducey that he had no idea what's going on with that issue whatsoever. And so, you know, just decided that if Peter Ducey was asking him the question, it must be garbage or something. I'm not so sure. It's unclear how much he knows about anything, any of the policies that his people are implementing. But the speed with which it was walked back or spun or clarified or whatever you want to call it, it's obvious that this settlement is in the works and perhaps the final amount has yet to be settled on. But also looking at the statements made by the ACLU saying that they thought the president had not been fully briefed on what was going on, you know that it's true. It's perfectly true. And we also know that the ACLU is going to fight like a junkyard dog to get as much as possible in this settlement because they're going to get money in it also for legal fees. So they're definitely going for as much as they can get out of Merrick Garland's Justice Department for these illegal aliens who agreed to be separated from their children and have now been, you know, used as props by the ACLU and everyone else on the open border side to get some kind of payoff from U.S. taxpayers. And they'll probably be allowed to stay here also. Let's remember that and get future handouts from U.S. taxpayers.
So, yeah.
Yeah. This is a really ugly situation. And people need to pay attention.
And at first, Republicans were critical of the Biden administration because they weren't, using strong enough tools and language to let people know that you can't just walk in here. You're not going to be allowed in. They obviously failed at that. But $450,000, talk about incentivizing people to come over here, and talk about incentivizing people to reach out to someone and try to find children they can bring with them, because there does seem to be this tactic by this administration that it always comes down to families. I remember when the Haitian migrants were coming over, they sent back a lot of single males. And I immediately thought, Jessica, well, isn't that going to tell people that if you come over here, you might get sent back, but if you have a child with you, you might be okay?
Oh, yeah, they will be okay. That's a good point. I wonder how many people in the caravan that's currently making its way to the United States are going to say, please separate me from my kids so we can be a millionaire. You know, because remember, it's not $450,000 per family that got separated. It's per person in the family. So if you had, if you're talking one parent and one kid, that's $900,000.
It's absolutely absurd. And when we talk about the money going towards illegal aliens and this insane system that we've built around this, I do also want to mention the Build Back Better Act. According to reports, $100 billion of the Build Back Better Act's budget will go to immigration-related issues. When you hear that, Jessica, immigration-related issues, what comes to mind? I have a feeling it's not the wall.
Definitely the wall. It's more like the slide or the open gate into the United States. It has been reported by some that the money is intended to be put toward this plan to, they call it, reducing the backlog of asylum applications in immigration courts, in our dysfunctional immigration courts, which is likely to mean a way to streamline the process so that they can get approved for asylum faster. That's what would happen, you know, under the Biden administration. That's what they plan to do, is to become more efficient at legalizing people who came here illegally under the guise of the asylum system. They will probably also put some of that toward offering legal counsel to illegal aliens who have cases before the immigration courts. Other kinds of expenses to, help them get to stay, basically. Maybe toward processing work permits for them faster, things like that. It has to do with border security or with stopping this influx of people coming now, or increasing enforcement, or helping victims of illegal alien crime, or anything that would in any way slow down the new arrivals.
Now, Jessica Vaughn is the Director of Policy Studies at the Center for Immigration. And I have to mention here, Jessica, you just mentioned work, and there's a new story out that I wasn't really sure what this meant, but I know you could explain it better. U.S. ends mass immigration arrests at work sites. And once again, I do think this falls under, with everything with this administration, it's not about what's actually more effective or what is safer for American people. It's what looks better, or what, optically, what seems nicer or seems more humane. Explain to people what this is about and what the E-Verify system is.
Well, the new Biden policy to stop what they call mass worksite operations is a euphemism for saying that they are not going to do any more worksite enforcement, which is an amnesty for illegal employment, not only for the illegal workers, but also for the employers who are the ones committing the crime by employing them. So it's an amnesty for both illegal workers and employers of them. And, they want to make it as easy as possible for illegal aliens to stay, to be, to settle here, for as long as possible so, you know, they can justify a future amnesty. But this is why states need to double down on the authorities that they have to penalize bypassing U.S. workers by hiring illegal aliens, by increasing use of E-Verify. In fact, there is a bill that's being heard in the State House on Tuesday, introduced by Representative Dave DeCoste. It's called an Act Protecting Massachusetts Workers. This bill would require all employers in Massachusetts to use E-Verify so that they can avoid hiring illegal workers, so that they can screen out, you know, after they've hired someone, check whether or not that person they've hired is actually authorized to work. And it works very well. It's one of the most effective government programs out there. The employers who use it are very happy with it. There are a lot of them in the state of Massachusetts who do use it and think that it works to screen out new hires who are illegal aliens. It puts them on employers on a level playing field so that unscrupulous employers cannot gain an advantage in bidding for contracts and so on. This is good legislation and good government, and really would protect job opportunities for Americans. We'll have to see how this is received by the rest of the legislature, but it's something that at least 15 states have already done, and it works very well. It's a very good way to reduce the size of the illegal population in a state. It's been proven through all kinds of research and experience, and really it should be mandatory at a national level, but, you know, Massachusetts could start to mitigate some of the bad effects of the Biden border policies by enacting this requirement.
And Jessica, I think for a long time, a lot of these issues, while, you know, a good amount of people paid attention to them, it did feel like it wasn't really in your backyard. Unless you were in a border town in Texas, it might not affect you directly. But I've seen stories now about some of these minors entering school systems in New York and in other places and overwhelming the teachers, overwhelming the schools. And so do you notice that people are kind of picking up on this more and realizing, and not beyond just that, but the double standard of, okay, so for my kid to go back to school, they're going to need to be vaccinated if they're from the ages of 5 to 11, but an illegal alien or a minor could come into the school and not have to be vaccinated. I mean, people must be reaching kind of a fever pitch with this.
Yes, this is where the schools are where one of the areas that really is strained by this influx, because as we were discussing earlier, so many of the illegal aliens that are allowed to enter are kids coming with their parents to be a deportation shield. They end up in our public schools, and they're not scattered evenly around the country. They're concentrated in certain areas where their friends and family have gone before them. So there's certain school districts that are especially affected by this, places like Lynn, Chelsea, East Boston, Milford, and a few other places around the Commonwealth, Springfield. And all of a sudden there are all these new arrivals that the schools have to figure out how to accommodate. They have to have special accommodations in the schools, and it becomes a big burden on the school system and on taxpayers. And not only that, sometimes they end up, you know, being involved in gangs or being recruited into gangs. Or there was a case in Florida that's horrific, where a guy who's 24 years old lied to the Border Patrol, said he was 17. They let him go. He found his way to Florida. A family took him in, and he murdered the husband in this family in cold blood just the other day. Is that most kids coming here illegally? Of course not. But the problem is when you ask no questions, see no evil, think that there's nothing wrong with the open borders that we have, you end up with real tragedies occurring because they could not be bothered to do even the most minimal welfare checks or identity checks or background checks on these kids that are taking advantage of these reckless and really foolish policies.
Jessica Vaughn from the Center for Immigration Studies, thank you so much for joining us. People can follow Jessica on Twitter at JessicaV_CIS. Jessica, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Grace. You too.
All right, everyone. I know it's a little heavy for a Friday, but it's important that we all keep focused on this because there's so many issues to try to juggle here during this Biden administration, during these 4 years. And it's we're not even a year in yet, as scary as that sounds. When we get back, I want to talk a little bit about the dirty dossier that wasn't. It's pretty much official now. It was official for us for a long time, but the mainstream media is finally admitting that this was all bogus. And you're not going to believe the connection that a UMass Amherst person has to this story. You can thank Joe Biden as inflation surges. This winter, heating bills are projected to soar by as much as 54% in some areas, depending on your heating source. I know mine will definitely surge. My house runs on oil, and it is so expensive, Jared. But most of the time, I'm sitting there going, it's so expensive, but half these rooms I'm not even in.
Yeah, that's my plan this year. I'm going to run the heat as much as I need to keep my pipes from freezing. But other than that, unless I'm in that room, I don't need the heat. So that's why the Eden Pure Gen 40 heater is great, because it's portable. It's not one of these big bulky units. It's not one of those things that looks like a grill that gets super hot. It's just this small little heater, which actually almost looks like a piece of decor in your home.
It's very Mad Men looking.
Yeah, it's kind of that mid-century classicness that a lot of people like.
Yeah, and right now you could save $20 on this Gen 40 heater that is both stylish and easy to move from room to room. All you have to do to order your Gen 40 space heater is put in code word GRACEHEATER at EdenPureDeals.com. Don't wait for your first terrible heating bill to come. Compliments of Let's Go Brandon. These Gen 40 heaters may be gone by Thanksgiving, so go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code word GRACEHEATER to save $20 and get free shipping. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word GRACEHEATER. I see everyone on the lines. We'll take your calls after the break. 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and for the boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
This really feels like a Friday we earned. You know, the ups and downs of this week. There was more ups than downs, though, thanks to Glenn Youngkin. And thanks, really, more thanks to Terry McAuliffe. There was a lot more ups than downs. But yeah, I'm glad TGIF. I'm glad it's Friday. There's so much stuff happening with this Durham indictment. We'll get to that in a minute. But let's go to the callers here. Bill, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Bill.
Hi, Grace. Glad to get on your show. I think there's some nuance here about the administration saying that they've added 500,000 new jobs to the economy.
Okay.
They didn't add any jobs. The jobs were already there. All they did was allow the workers somehow to go back to work, either by cutting off benefits or because of inflation and people are afraid and they need to go back to work.
Yes, Bill. And you know what I would call that, which is a slogan that the left really likes right now, which is they simply got out of the way. I saw that today, that Obama's going to the COP26 Build Back Better G7 007 conference. And he's going to tell old folks that if you're not going to help, get out of the way. And that's like a current, that's a very trendy thing. You know, Joe Biden said, DeSantis, if you're not going to help fight COVID, get out of the way. Republicans, if you're not going to pass this $1 trillion boondoggle, get out of the way. But what Bill is saying is absolutely true. They didn't do anything to fix this problem. They just got out of the way. They just stopped making it worse. It's not that they fixed the lights. It's that they stopped smashing the light bulbs for 2 seconds. And now they want, you know, a round of applause for not kneecapping everyone at all times. It's really, so much of this is so basic. And That is why I'm always amazed when the left claims that none of us could do what they do, that this is such a complicated system. You can't have businessmen and truck drivers running this thing. You need master legislators like Nancy Pelosi. Speaking of that, any update on the Build Back Better vote yet?
Democrats are not optimistic.
Oh, you hate to hear it. We'll be right back with more. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.